From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made with more than 130 women who responded to a recent call-out from The Lily, a publication of The Washington Post. Journalists were asking readers to describe their experiences with IUDs, intrauterine devices used to prevent pregnancy. Of the 131 people who responded, the majority discussed some kind of pain with the device, either while it was being inserted or after. I'll quote now from The Lily. Some described pain that left them bedridden for days or sprinting to the bathroom to vomit. The IUD felt like, in their words, shards of glass in the vagina. Whew! Another described the experience as hell on earth, end quote. Well, it's tough. It's a tough experience, especially when you haven't thought about this. Take the case of Heather Williams. She had researched the device and felt confident and calm heading into her doctor's office. 30 minutes after her IUD was inserted, she was lying on the bathroom floor at the medical office. Her device later dislodged inside her uterus, and when the cramping got worse, she went back to her doctor. Her OBGYN realized the device was, quote, sitting low, so she removed it and reinserted it. 10 months later, the IUD dislodged again, with the metal tip poking out through her cervix. That, again, these are just individual experiences, and a doctor quoted in the Lily's piece said that most of her patients are thrilled with their IUDs. They have helped drive down the rates of unwanted pregnancies. In the state of Colorado, where IUDs were made much more widely available to all populations, even for people struggling with poverty, the rate of abortion went down. It has been remarkably successful. There are a wide variety of anecdotes, good, bad, and the other. But one thing we've noticed in reading and talking to women in preparation for this hour is that communication about IUDs could be better. And that's what we're trying to do this hour. Our guests will share their experiences with IUDs, and we're going to hear from a local OBGYN as well. And let me welcome our guests. On the phone with us is Dr. Rebecca Alejandro, obstetrics and gynecology specialist with Rochester Regional Health. Dr. Alejandro, welcome back to the program.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
And three women in studio who have had varying experiences with IUDs, and we appreciate their willingness to share their stories. Welcome to Jesse Amesmith. Hi, Jesse.
Hey, Evan, how are you?
Good, thanks for being here. Chantel Monique, thank you for being here, Chantel.
Thank you for having me.
And Audrey Sample back with us. Hi, Audrey, thanks for being here.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Dr. Alejandro, let me just start briefly by saying, and I'm going to stress this many times this hour, we're not here just to sort of malign IUDs. In fact, we're going to put the spotlight on all the good that IUDs have done in many, many ways here. I am curious to know if you think if you agree with the Washington Post assessment that communication on this could be better.
Yes, I do think that it's very important for providers who are prescribing or recommending IUDs to be very honest about what the procedure is like to have it placed and what the patient should expect as far as side effects. I don't think it helps anyone to sort of either try to sugarcoat or downplay what the patient might experience. In fact, it can be very helpful if the patient has realistic expectations about the IUD and the side effects.
Yeah. Do you think any heterosexual man has ever thought about this, Dr. Alejandro?
Not to the extent that myself and probably the women that are here today have.
I think that's probably right. Olga Hazan wrote on Twitter about her experience. She's a writer for The Atlantic, and she wrote, quote, "As someone who blacked out repeatedly all day after my IUD insertion, I'm glad someone is writing about this. If men had to get IUDs, sex would end," end quote. Well, you know, maybe heterosexual sex would probably end. Like, let's be real, heterosexual men. I mean, how much are we putting pressure on women to sort of figure out all of this? And it's just nothing for us. So that was what Olga Hazan said briefly, Audrey Sample. Yes, is sex over if men had to deal with this?
Probably, yeah. When I was prepping for this episode and thinking about my experiences, I realized, like, when you were and I were on the phone yesterday, I was thinking, wow, like, Evan Dawson can't even imagine a cramp. Like, he has no idea what any of this is like. Whereas if I literally told any person with a uterus, like just said I had cramps or debilitating cramps that, like, put me in a wheelchair when I was leaving my insertion process, mm-hmm. they would be like, oh, either I get it or I can imagine it. And, like, you have no clue. And that's no fault of your own, but, like, no idea what this is like.
It's a little bit of fault of my own. It sort of is. I mean, like, men do a really good job of not learning about things that they think don't have to affect them.
Yeah.
That's a big, broad statement, I realize, but.
Yeah. Yeah, or even just the idea that it's a given that your birth control option will cause you pain in some capacity, whether that's physical or mental. And it's just sort of, you know, deciding how much pain you're willing to deal with. Mm-hmm. Whereas men, like, I don't know, what's the worst thing that you go through? You're like, meh, it's uncomfortable. I don't like it. Like, what? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
I mean, I'm hard pressed to disagree. So before we kind of talk about individual stories here, because Jesse's here with, I think, it's not the flip side. I think it's just a little bit of, is that kind of the flip side? I mean, it's the good side.
I think I have the kind of poster child experience of getting an IUD.
That the medical community would say, like, you should be the spokesperson for IUD.
I loved it. I'd do it again. I'd recommend it. It hurt. I mean, I'm not going to downplay that at all. Particularly, I got an IUD swapped when I decided when it was expired and it was time to get another one. I got a second one.
See, there's a thing, again, a lot of people who don't have uteruses don't think about. So before we dive into the specific stories here, let me just ask Dr. Alejandro, what would you say, what percentage of people that you're working with IUDs experience, you know, I don't know if regret's the right word, but a lot of pain, unexpected or surprising levels of discomfort or pain?
So there's sort of two situations here. One is with the placement itself. It's pretty uncommon to have someone have really unbearable pain with the placement. It's happened to me a few times that either the procedure has to be stopped or the patient really doesn't feel well afterwards. And then the other piece of this is then people who continue to have pain even after placement, and that's the reason that they request it be removed. And again, that's still not very common. You can have some cramping in the first couple months, and there is a proportion of people who find that bothersome enough that they request it be removed. But it's a minority in both of those cases. It's not that it doesn't happen, but it's the minority of cases.
Okay. And so, Jesse, you were beginning to talk about your story. Let's talk about your story. So take me back to the beginning and your decision to go ahead and get an IUD.
So I had had actually a really awful experience with oral contraceptives and found that unless I took them at exactly the same time every day, you know, I was all over the place with it, hormonally all over the place with it. I was 22, you know, like I was not in my frontal lobe was not fully formed. So an IUD made sense for me after, you know, I lived in Chicago at the time. I qualified for whatever Illinois' income-based young person family planning options were. And after talking to the doctor, I decided to get one. But even at the time, I remember they said that, and this was 12 years ago, that like normally, quote unquote, they recommend them for people that had already had kids because your cervix hasn't opened if you have not pushed a human out through it very much at all, so that it is painful, and that was something they were trying to move away from, not just recommending them for people that had pregnancy and delivered, but also for young folks or people who are looking for longer term birth control. So I knew going into it that it was going to be uncomfortable, and it was. And I think I had, you know, a couple months of spotting and a regular period and some cramping. And then I don't think I thought about having a period or getting pregnant until it was time to get the other IUD put in. Like it was.
How many years?
Well, I had, let's see. I think 7 years I had the first one.
Long time.
Long time. And then 5 years I had the second IUD. I was saying before that the swap hurt the most because they had to keep my cervix open for longer because they had to take one IUD out and put another IUD in. But I think they had prescribed me something. Like I think I got like Tylenol 3 or something, like Tylenol with codeine or whatever for the procedure. And then because my body was used to it, I feel like within 48 hours, I was back to normal after the swap. And then when my partner and I decided we wanted to have kids, I went to my GYN and I had it taken out. And actually, I almost passed out when they took it out. Just for whatever reason, I got super lightheaded and, you know, they had to give me apple juice and crackers. And then I was fine. And I'm actually 20 weeks pregnant right now. So that.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Congrats. And I feel very grateful that I had access to options, to birth control that worked for me. I mean, I'm grateful I had access to birth control that didn't work for me, that I was able to find what did work. And now I'm, like, the idea of, like, family planning, right? Like, I was able to plan when I wanted to have a family and not be in a position where abortion was the option for birth control. So that was very beneficial to me. And yeah, I mean, I don't, I mean, I've heard all sorts of stories from people, right? People who loved it, hated one IUD, got on a different IUD, liked that one. So, yeah, I even got a tattoo of an IUD.
You do have a tattoo of an IUD. That's an actual tattoo of an IUD. That's the first I've ever seen of that, right?
And
there.
It's you can fit an IUD within the lines of this tattoo, I tell people. So it's as close to life size as we could make it for a tattoo. And I got it to start conversations about birth control, which I've had many, many of over the years. People asking what it is, or like GYNs crossing the room in a restaurant to be like, is that an IUD on your hand?
And do they actually do that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Specifically GYNs. You know?
Do they love it?
They love it. And when people ask me why, I just say it to start talking about birth control. And you'll have a whole room full of people talking about birth control that normally, like you're saying, like, you know, a lot of cishet men specifically, like never consider it.
Absolutely.
And then here we are. There's like a whole room full of people talking about what works for them. What didn't work for them, what they, you know, someone saying, oh, I miss the days of the sponge or whatever they're talking about, you know, things that don't exist anymore. So, yeah, I have nothing but good things to say about my IUD.
So, I mean, I wish listeners could see what's on your hand. Because if that's roughly the size of it?
Yes.
I mean, it's smaller.
It so fits within the lines.
You talk about
it,
a thing a cishet men would say. That looks smaller than I think. That didn't look like that.
It's like a grappling hook.
There should have been a trigger warning for this hour for well-bubbled cishet men. Like, you're not going to necessarily know what hit you here. Okay, so let me ask Dr. Alejandro, first of all, what would you say hello if you saw someone with a tattoo of an IUD? Have you ever seen someone with a tattoo of an IUD?
I have several friends and colleagues who have tattoos of IUDs,
wow.
But they are GYNs themselves. but I'm very impressed at you know, someone else having one, and I definitely would stop to say hello to someone with an IUD on their hand.
Her description of the benefits and what it allowed her to do in her life, I mean, is this... Do you agree, Dr. Alejandra, that this is exactly what you're hoping to achieve with it?
Yeah, absolutely. It makes me very happy to hear stories like Jessie's, that she found a birth control that worked for her and allowed her to go about her life and achieve the goals or, you know, do what she wanted to do and then have children when she decided it was the right time for her. And that is the purpose of the IUD. And for some people, it's a great method. It's not for everyone, but when it works, it does work great. And Jessie's story is exactly what we hope to hear.
Dr. Alejandra, on the subject of numbers, there's a couple things I want to ask you about before I talk to the other women about their stories. First of all, one of the reasons we're having this conversation now is if you go back 30 years, roughly 10 times as many IUDs are being administered in the population. It was around 1.5% of U.S. women and people with uteruses back in the early 90s. Now, and we're talking age 15 to 44. Today, it's about 14% is the latest number. I mean, it's almost 10 times as much. That's according to the Kaiser Family Foundation. Doctors are prescribing using IUDs more than just about any other form of birth control. Now, on the subject of pain, Jessie brought up some of the things that you were talked to about, you know, you had not had a child before. So you were warned this may be a little rougher. So some of the numbers from a 2013 study, 17% of people who get an IUD who have never had children experience substantial pain that requires pain management, especially during the insertion process. 11% of mothers, of people who've had kids, experience the same pain. So, you know, it's something like 33% less. Does that track with what you understand, Dr. Alejandro?
It certainly can be a little more manageable for women who've had children, especially if you've recently had a child. The insertion process can be less painful. As far as the pain management they're referring to in these studies, I'm not clear if that's something they're doing during the procedure to help with pain. Frequently, I do counsel patients to take ibuprofen or Advil 30 to 60 minutes before their appointment, which mm-hmm. can be helpful. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, methods like that patient can easily access, pain management methods, can be really helpful for the pain with insertion.
Audrey Sample, what's your experience like with this? When did you make that decision?
So my IUD got inserted in February 2018. So I was 19. I had my first boyfriend. Fun fact, I did get dumped the day after my insertion. So that was really, really awesome. I got it inserted. I remember it was really painful. And then just never stopped being painful. Almost fainted on the table, had to be wheeled out of the office in a wheelchair by my mom, helped into the car, was like in constant communication with my midwife that day, trying to figure out like, is this normal? And I think I got it removed then in May 2018, so a couple months later. I had the Mirena and just horrendous symptoms. It's reaffirming, though, to hear experiences like Jesse's, to know that, like, okay, my experience is not everyone's experiences and that I am correct and still encouraging my friends to try them.
Absolutely.
I had, like, chronic yeast infections, constant cramping, like writhing in pain on the
floor.
Like
debilitating cramping?
Like, yeah. Absolutely. Like calling out of work, right. Not being able to see friends, like literally like crawling around trying to find ibuprofen and then ibuprofen not cutting it, like 800 milligrams of ibuprofen not cutting it. I talked to my GI specialist recently and she was saying that she definitely thinks that I've like damaged my stomach from how much ibuprofen I took during that time. Horrible experience.
Not the best.
Horrible.
Not
horrible.
The best.
But it's interesting because I put a poll on my Instagram earlier, like put out the little question box thing. I was like, what's your experience with an IUD? Overwhelmingly positive. Most of my friends seem to have really loved their experience. They said the insertion was painful, but that after that it went away. So it's really just interesting to me that every uterus is so different.
Every person's different, yeah. And did you feel like it caught you by surprise? I think that's important here. Did you think, I could be in for some pain, this could be really uncomfortable for a while, especially during the insertion? Did you feel like you knew everything you needed to know?
I knew that I would have cramping during and possibly for like 24 to 48 hours afterwards. But what I did not expect were the kind of cramps that I had. Like, I've always had debilitating cramps, but I think that my uterus trying to expel a foreign device, which is what was happening, it's just a different level of pain. Like, my midwife explained to me that, like, my uterus, like I'm having, like, contractions as if I was giving birth, but I was not. Like, there was no child at the end. Like, that's what she kept saying to me on the phone is, like, I'm so sorry that you're basically going through childbirth, but you have no joy of a baby at the end. You're, like, the only joy is you don't get a baby at the end.
Wow. I mean, and just looking at some of the numbers here, according to the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology, between 2 and 10% of all IUDs are involuntarily expelled in the first year. That sounds like your story.
So, yeah, my IUD didn't move, didn't come out of place or anything. I think I just have a very sensitive body and it was like, get this thing out of here. This is not okay.
But that's not most.
It's
sorry it happened to you.
Yeah. So I was honestly like hesitant about even coming on here because I was like, oh my God, I don't want to seem like I'm against IUDs.
Can I say something about that? Yeah. I actually really respect that part of this, Audrey, because, you know, Audrey knew right away that if we only focus on some of these really rough stories, that everyone's going to walk away from this conversation thinking, don't ever do IUDs. That's actually the opposite. What we want to do is highlight that your story is unfortunately, you know, it's not impossible. It's not super, super rare. It's unusual. It's not the norm. But everyone should get information that says this is on the range of possibility. Because again, I just think people who don't have to deal with, often men, not always, are thinking like, well, this is easy. Just go have one of those put in. And then magic, done.
Yeah.
So I respect that about you because I know you were sensitive to the fact that you don't want to send the wrong message, but you do want to be honest about your experience.
Thank you. Yeah, and I really liked what Jesse had to say about like being grateful that I even had the option to try different birth control methods. Like the pill did wind up working for me. I didn't have any symptoms.
So you and Jesse
for that.
Are opposite on this.
Yep. Yes. Yep. Yeah, exactly. But I'm just so grateful that for no cost, because of my insurance, I was able to try what worked for me. Whereas, like, if I had, you know, gone into debt to get an IUD, even if it was painful, I probably would have been like, well, got to keep it in because the other method is nothing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just am really grateful and unfortunately feel privileged to be in that position when that shouldn't be a privilege.
No, I hear that. And Dr. Alejandro, first of all, on Audrey's actual experience with that, is that on the far end of the spectrum of outcomes that you've seen?
Yeah, I would echo what you said, which it happens, but it's not certainly the most common outcome. I do counsel patients that the procedure itself is crampy, uncomfortable, and that is expected. That should improve, though, over the next couple weeks to months, and should get less frequent and more manageable. And so if it doesn't, you know, seeing your provider to talk about what might be going wrong or having it removed is always a good next step.
Okay. And on to Audrey's point that it was important for her to at least find out. I mean, she made a choice, and understandably so, that it wasn't going to work for her, but she understands it works for a lot of people. And I mentioned off the top of the hour that if you look at just pick for the state of Colorado, for example, there was a program there to make IUDs much more accessible to the general population, to women who didn't have either insurance or resources. And all of a sudden you have pretty fast declining rates of abortion, of unwanted pregnancy, and just a resounding success story. I don't think you can put it any other way. But Audrey's comment about insurance made me wonder, Dr. Alejandro, I mean, what do we need to know about IUDs and whether they're always covered and who has access to them?
Yeah, I just want to comment on that Colorado study, which was very impressive. And they did two things that I think account for why kind of nationally the rates of IUD use have gone up. They removed all cost and access barriers to getting an IUD. And then they also provided really accurate education and information to patients. And they found that when those two things were in place, people elected to use IUDs overwhelmingly. And so I think that, you know, is an important piece in getting more people to use IUDs if they choose to, if that's what they want to use.
And let me just bolster the point that the doctor is making. This is from the Denver Post. Quote, the steep drop in teen pregnancies and abortions in Colorado since 2009 is mainly due to one thing, free, low-cost access to IUDs. Colorado's teen birth rate fell 54% and the teen abortion rate declined 64% since 2009, according to state health officials there. And the astounding numbers capturing during that eight-year period since IUDs became an affordable option were released along with a study estimating the state avoided paying nearly $70 million for labor and delivery, well baby checkups, food stamps, and child care assistance because of fewer births to teenage moms. It's a remarkable story. So Chantal, Monique, if you could, I'd love to hear your story as well. And then listeners, if you've got questions, comments, and we already have some, we'll hit those in the second half hour with not only our guest, but Dr. Rebecca Alejandro. Chantal, when did you decide to go in this direction?
My first IUD was inserted in October 2014, and my story is a little bit different. I do want to first state that I'm not against IUDs whatsoever.
Absolutely.
And I have my second one currently, even though my experience hasn't been all positive. I am not using an IUD for birth control. I currently use the most effective form of birth control. I'm a cis woman in a relationship with a cis woman. Very effective. I have suspected endometriosis. Mm-hmm. For anyone who doesn't know, the only way to confirm that is an exploratory surgery. I was presented with two options, the surgery or to get a Mirena.
Mirena is an IUD?
Yes.
Same one, Audrey? Yeah, okay.
And that one was chosen for me specifically because it's not an estrogen-based. I'm prone to migraines, so that was a concern going in. The insertion of my IUD was the most excruciating pain I have ever experienced, and I'm someone who's broken both pinky toes. I have a connective tissue disorder where I'm prone to hyperextension.
Don't make me laugh at you.
Dislocating. I've torn every tendon and ligament in my right foot, and that did not compare to the pain of having my IUDs inserted both times. I was not prepared. And I think
not prepared in that you didn't feel like you were given
the communication from my provider
was
not exactly. Yeah. And I did ask very specific questions. I was again told it would just be uncomfortable. I do have some uniqueness to my internal anatomy, being that my cervix is tilted. Internally, I'm smaller, apparently, just my bits inside. And both my providers knew this. And I was just told that it would be uncomfortable. I specifically asked, is this something I need someone to drive me to? And I was told no. Luckily, before my experience of going in and having it inserted, I was telling a friend who happens to be a social worker, and she said, no, I'm going to take you there. And thank goodness she did. My body basically went into shock. It was the most writhing, excruciating pain. They do open your cervix. That's extreme cramping. My provider at the time sprayed lidocaine up inside, and that was just fire, liquid fire. And then afterwards, when I was sat back up, all that lidocaine then drained out. So then that was burning my vulva. And then I had complete shaking and trembling and almost passed out, flushing, had to be put in a wheelchair and wheeled out. And my friend collected me and took me to lunch, where I tried to lick my wounds, essentially.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry you went through that.
Yeah. And the whole point was to not have a period or bleeding. With the suspected endometriosis, I was having really excruciating 2 to 3 week long periods every month, draining me of energy. 6 months later, after my first, I did have to go onto a very heavy duty hormone therapy to completely knock out anything blood-wise, menses, that was still in my body, and flush that out. And then I did. It took a whole year, but then I did. I stopped having a period, and I could continue some form of normalcy with my life. I'm now on my second IUD, and unfortunately, I'm still spotting, so I'm not quite where I need to be. And my second insertion wasn't any better with the swap, and then COVID hit, and so I have not been back to a provider to have my annual checkup. Mm-hmm. And I'm a little traumatized from my experience.
I'm sorry. I am so sorry. And you know, again, to kind of highlight the fact that you opened your comments by saying you're not against IUD. When you think about literally millions of people who have IUDs who, you know, definitely have discomfort at the insertion, but not nearly the level. I mean, do you feel that you're unlucky? I mean, do you get frustrated? I mean, or do you feel like, hey, at least other people don't typically have it as rough as I did?
It's hard to say. I like hearing Jesse's story. But in my line of work, I'm an esthetician, and so I do perform Brazilian waxes. So when you're in that kind of service with someone, you hear so many stories from women. It's, you know, someone seeing you naked, you just spill it all. And I hear a lot of horror stories. I've heard more horrible things than I have good. Obviously, people who have good experiences aren't singing it from the rooftop. Opposed to
some get tattoos.
Some do. And you know, team members of mine at the salon have also had bad experiences. And in my little world, it seems to be more common that it's an unpleasant, more than unpleasant, but painful experience. And I do wish that providers would take individuals, into consideration and on, you know, weighing out the risk on how painful will this be for someone.
Mm-hmm. Do you think most men you know would tolerate that?
Oh, no. No, not at all.
Oh, man. Dr. Alexandra, I really feel for Chantel and her story here. And let me just start by asking you in regards to her story. It does sound like this was a case of maybe some bad information, I guess. Where do you start with that?
Yeah, Chantel, I'm so sorry that you went through that with
Thank
your
you.
Experience. As we started out talking about, I think a lot is preparing the patient for what they might expect. It's challenging, though, because most patients don't have the debilitating pain. Most patients do experience what I call it is really intense period cramps, which I think most people can relate to that type of description. There are extremes, but again, that's not the most common scenario. And so I think helping people be mentally prepared for that intense cramping. I also find things like having a friend in the room or a family member if they feel comfortable. Sometimes if the patient comes alone, I'll have a nurse in the room, which can be very effective also to just provide a little bit of distraction or emotional support during the procedure. And then just really, again, setting expectations for what to expect afterwards and should you be feeling better, and if not, what to do about that.
Mm-hmm. Chantel, if you have a friend who is asking you about saying, you know, look, I've never gotten an IUD, I think I'd like to, what do you say to them?
I would just prep them that that they shouldn't drive themselves, mm-hmm. that there is the possibility that it's not just uncomfortable, that it could be very painful, and to be gentle with yourself going in and then your care afterwards. There was no way I would have been able to return to work that day, the following day. And so just giving and allowing yourself that time, because, yes, it after all that pain, it was freeing for the next 4 years to not have debilitating periods. But it was a lot to get there.
Yeah. Is that sort of a reasonable assessment, you think, Dr. Alexandra?
I do, and I'm glad you mentioned that. You know, sometimes it's a matter of thinking about getting through the procedure, which certainly can be very challenging for some women. But then if you get through that and you do okay in the weeks following, it can really be, you know, 5, 7, 12 years, depending on which IUD you get, of not having to worry about a pregnancy and in some cases not having to worry about either painful or heavy periods, which can be actually a pretty good trade-off. Some women kind of consider that one day or the couple of days of feeling pretty uncomfortable or being out of work as a good trade-off for several years of protection and comfort.
The feedback from the men that I'm getting does not indicate men have a real understanding of pain that women experience. I just think, generally speaking, I think there's a difference in the species and pain tolerance is just... It's different.
Evan, have you ever had a cold? Because men really seem to think that that is on par, like, with this pain. I mean.
Yeah, it really equates to having your cervix dilated.
It really equates, like, sometimes you cough, sometimes you have postnasal drip. It's really, really, it's challenging.
You're going to upset people now.
It's challenging.
You're going
yeah.
to upset
yeah.
people now.
Well, and pain is relative, right?
It is relative. That's right.
So, I mean, even with just a person who has tattoos, people ask me all the time, how bad did that hurt? And I say, as bad as it hurt, you know? I mean, because someone can say, oh, the ribs were the worst spot. Someone else says, oh, the knee is the worst spot, you know? And then you get that tattoo and you think, well, it wasn't so bad. Mm-hmm. Or you think you're going in for slight discomfort and you leave in a wheelchair, you know? I think I said to you earlier, like, I've been lied to by the dentist about how bad a procedure is going to hurt, you know? So it's hard to even really prepare someone because you don't want to scare them, but you hope that healthcare providers are being realistic with people. Usually I tell people, it really hurt. And it was really worth it for me. Mm-hmm. And you do have to personally weigh that. And I yeah. think it's very sad that you didn't feel prepared for what you were walking into.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're talking about IUDs, intrauterine devices, and we've got some questions from listeners that we'll take after we take this only break. I also want to take Clara's phone call. Clara is on the line, ready to share a story as well. We have seen about a tenfold increase in the last 30 years in the prescription of IUDs. About 1.5% of forms of birth control were IUDs 30 years ago. Now it's about almost 15%. It's a big number. So we're talking honestly about what that experience is like, what the benefits are, what it can do, and also maybe just making sure people understand the range of possibilities when you're dealing with the procedure and afterwards. Our guests include Audrey Sample, Chantal Monique, Jesse Amesmith, who are talking about their experiences, Dr. Rebecca Alejandro, who's an obstetrics and gynecology specialist with Rochester Regional Health, and we'll get right back to your questions next. Coming up in our second hour, the writer Tom Nichols joins us. He recently wrote about his concern with the unvaccinated population in this country. He's frustrated, and he says, it's time to stop trying to understand and be soft and gentle. He says it's time to shame and mock and be direct with people who are endangering lives. Most of his frustration is directed at white conservatives. Is he right? We'll talk about it next hour.
This is Veronica Volk from WXXI News, and we've got a new weekly podcast for you. It's called Earshot, and it's got all the most important, best told, sometimes off the beaten path news stories from your favorite WXXI and city reporters. Earshot comes out every Friday. Don't miss it. Subscribe wherever you find your podcasts.
This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Let me grab Clara on the phone in Rochester. Hi, Clara.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
So I have an IUD story of my own, and it's kind of similar to Chantal's. I got an IUD to treat suspected endometriosis after unsuccessfully trying the pill. It did not regulate my periods at all. But someone mentioned at the top of the show that getting the IUD inserted felt like shards of glass in their vagina. And just to put this in perspective, that's what my periods felt like for my entire life. Ugh. So I started getting them when I was 10. And the way I would describe them to people is like the movie Teeth. Which is like a horror movie.
Is that the one?
I know. Yep. Are we going to need to get the dump button ready? I don't know the movie we're talking about. I don't know if we can describe it.
Yeah. So
maybe not.
A woman has teeth in her vagina.
Okay. All right.
And I always felt like my vagina was screaming upwards inside my body. And, like, eating me from the inside.
Oh, my God.
And, like, literally shards of glass stabbing at my gut. Like, you know, it gets really graphic. But, yeah, like, men and a lot of women, don't know this pain. And I had this when I was, you know, 10, 11, 12 years old until I was 21. And I couldn't have regular work hours. I missed school all the time. I missed so many birthday parties. I couldn't go to Seabreeze with my friends, which like felt like such a big deal at the time. And, you know, it was just really not only embarrassing, but like I couldn't walk. Like I could not have a normal childhood, teenagehood. And eventually I just said, I have to figure this out. Went to the doctor, got the pill. And if I missed by like an hour, I would be bleeding for 3 weeks. And, you know, I lost a lot of blood. I would lose about a pint of blood at least a week. And eventually I moved back to Rochester. I was living in Baltimore going to college. And I moved back to Rochester and decided to get a Mirena IUD. And they told me that it was going to hurt and that someone should drive me. Luckily, they prepared me. And it went so smoothly. It didn't hurt at all. Like, slight cramping, but nothing compared to what I was used to from periods. It just felt so easy. And I spotted for about 3 months, and I haven't had a period since then. And that was in 2015. But I continued going to the same gynecologist that inserted it, and they started really over-prescribing procedures for me. And knowing that I had had all these other issues with my reproductive health previously, I felt like they really took advantage of that. And they would, I had probably three biopsies, three or four colposcopies over the course of just 1 year. And during one of those procedures, they yanked out my IUD accidentally. Oh. No, I didn't have any Advil. I was not dilated, not prepared at all. Yanked out. And they said, oh, hold on. We'll get you another one. We'll reinsert it right now. And, you know, just shoved a fresh one in there and didn't aim properly and hit my vasovagal nerve. And I passed out immediately. I've never passed out before. I threw up and passed out at the doctor's office. And I eventually switched providers, thankfully. After that, I did not see a gynecologist for the next 4 years because I was so scared.
Yeah.
And I switched to Rochester Regional, to the Women's Health Clinic there, and it's since been great. I got my IUD replaced. Same thing, had cramping for about 20 minutes. It was just like the first one. And then I was totally fine. I absolutely could have driven myself home, though I would not recommend planning
sure,
for
absolutely.
That. But I felt totally fine. And having an IUD has changed the course of my life. Like, I wouldn't have been able to have a regular job. And now I can, and I can make plans and keep them with people. And I'm not in pain all the time. I can do physical activities. I take yoga classes with Jesse and have a great time doing that. And, you know, like the fact that I can be in control of my body, not just pregnancy wise, but like that I don't have to plan around like, well, what if I start bleeding? Am I going to have a change of clothes? Am I going to be able to get to a bathroom quickly? Am I going to be able to get home? Will I have access to pain medication? Like, I don't even have to think about those things anymore. And it has really changed my life.
Do you have an expectation, Clara, that this is, you know, here's an ignorant question. Is there a cycle to IUDs and how often they have to be replaced? And is yours? Yeah.
So I did notice towards the end of the last one, I was coming up on the 5 year mark, and I would start to feel a little bit of cramping. And I had a bit of a trauma response to that. Like, I could feel that if I let the cramping get any worse, I would start having panic attacks because it would remind me of the pain that I used to have all the time. And I, as those cramps started to happen a little more frequently, I said, okay, it's probably time to replace my IUD. And when I saw the GYN at Rochester Regional, she said, well, sometimes, you know, they only last 5 years. Sometimes they last 7, 8, 9 years. I guess there's a study at U of R happening right now to see if they can last for up to 10 years for some people. But I did feel it when it was starting to run out.
That's interesting. I mean, I think totally understandable that your body had that response, letting you know almost as a warning sign, we don't want to go here again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear you're doing well, Clara. I'm sorry what you've been through, but it sounds like your quality of life is so much better now.
Immensely better. Yeah. I would definitely recommend looking into certainly the Mirena for people with suspected endometriosis.
And I got to say, Clara, this is like the realest hour ever on Connections, and your phone call might have been the realest of the real there. So
it's a real situation. It was real bloody and gross and painful, and I don't wish it on anyone. But
good luck
for
to
hearing
you.
Me out.
Absolutely. Good luck to you. Thank you, Clara. Dr. Alejandro, you know, there's someone who says that IUD has changed her life in so many ways for the better. Obviously had a rough experience with a certain provider, but do you hear those kinds of responses, you know, with some frequency, that the IUD has been a dramatic life change in terms of quality of life?
I do. That's the majority of the stories that I hear about IUDs, is that they make your periods either much later or go away, which for many patients is a real benefit. They take off your mind the worry about getting pregnant when you're not planning a pregnancy. And so overall, you know, once you get through the difficulty of insertion, which certainly is painful, most women become very happy with the IUD and continuation rates are very high.
Is there a way to manage pain during that insertion process to do it better?
Yeah, I, as I said, I really think that appropriate counseling, and as
the women have said, being prepared for what to expect. I don't know that anyone would have chosen not to have the procedure done if they've been told accurately how painful it was, but it's more a matter of being prepared emotionally, physically, having arrived, things like that, that can be very helpful. There have been studies done on giving lidocaine, as one person mentioned, or other medications to help the procedure, and none of them have definitively shown to be helpful to reduce pain. So it's a little bit individualized on the person. And, you know, in my office, at least, you're welcome to listen to music or talk on the phone or have a friend in the room, whatever's going to help kind of relax and get you through the procedure. And asking your provider if that would be helpful for you, asking if that's okay, is very reasonable.
How long should IUDs last, doctor?
So there are multiple different types of IUD. The hormonal IUD, which includes the Mirena, which is really the most common one that is prescribed, lasts for birth control up to 6 years. There's also a copper IUD that does not have any hormones, and that can last 10 to 12 years. But again, at any point, either because of side effects or symptoms, or if the patient decides she wants to become pregnant, they can be removed at any time before that.
And I had a couple of questions along these lines. One listener asking, could you please simply describe how they work and what IUD stands for, Dr. Alejandro?
Yeah, absolutely. So IUD is an intrauterine device. It's a small T-shaped device. Maybe you can post a picture on your website of Jesse's IUD. Because they're about like 3 centimeters, so they're pretty small. They fit in the palm of your hand. And they get inserted in the office. As we mentioned, you don't need any anesthesia. They're an in-and-out procedure. As far as the actual procedure itself, only takes about 5 minutes. And the hormonal IUD works to prevent pregnancy in a couple of ways. It thickens the mucus of the cervix, which makes it difficult for sperm to get up inside the uterus. And it also thins the lining of the uterus, making it difficult or impossible for a pregnancy to implant there. And then the copper IUD, the copper is actually toxic to sperm, and that's how that prevents pregnancy.
Okay. Just got a note from a listener. I won't name names, but the listener is saying, thank you so much for this conversation on Connections. I feel seen. That's important. I mean, that's part of what we're doing here. And I really hope, I know we've said this so many times, but we're going to keep doing it. I really hope that no one is leaving this conversation thinking IUDs are a bad thing or something that no one should do. I mean, that is not at all the point. But some real talk's important. And for people to feel seen and to understand what they've been through and understand that that more of us now understand that, it's important. And hopefully we can keep doing this better. And hopefully the devices keep getting better and better and more effective. I mean, look at what's happened in states. We mentioned Colorado. I mean, look at what's happening in places where they're making it accessible. It is changing people's lives. It is lowering abortion rates. It is lowering rates of teen pregnancy and unwanted pregnancy. But we just got to know, you know, the reality. And Dr. Alejandro, I mean, I don't know if you're ever counseling couples on this, especially heterosexual couples. Do you find men are a little flippant about this or just maybe not getting it? I mean, I feel like men never think about like, well, you know what I could do? Here's what I could contribute to this. It's always like, what are you going to do? Do you find that, Dr. Alejandro?
Yeah, for better or for worse, I think the reality is that because it's women who get pregnant, it's women who bear the responsibility of preventing pregnancy. So until that mindset really dramatically shifts in society, the burden lies on women to be responsible for that end of things.
Audrey Sample, you want to add to that idea? Anything you want to let people know as you think about that?
We talked about this at length before we went on air, but yeah, if men were the ones getting pregnant or the ones, you know, who were expected to take birth control, these options would not be painful. It would be like, I think Jesse said, like it would be like a cheek swab or like something that painless, you know what I mean? But I don't know. I think that the message that I want to leave listeners with is if you are experiencing pain, that doesn't have to be the end of your story. Mm-hmm. And you should consult with your provider and trust your body and trust yourself and try something else. If the pain is not something that you feel is worthwhile, because ultimately I decided after a couple of months, okay, this pain for these months is not worth potentially in 6 months this pain going away and right. my IUD experience being like Jesse's and being fine. And then I tried the pill, and then the pill was pain-free, and that was fine. And, you know, for some people it's the opposite. It's the pill and then yeah. the IUD or whatever. But just, like, trust yourself, and you deserve a life that is not in pain.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think any provider would tell you that debilitating pain is something you should just live with, you know, for an extended amount of time.
But if you read – but the article that you – you know, posted, yeah. there are people who, you know, their providers are like, oh, you're exaggerating and just thinking that the pain is something that, you know, is worth it in the
not
end
the
because you're
ones,
not
though.
Getting pregnant. Yeah.
Not the good ones.
Right, right. And so, yeah, if that's how your provider is treating you, find a different provider.
Yeah. There are lots of – Dr. Alejandro is great, and there are lots of people like her. Her colleagues are doing wonderful work out there. Jesse, any final thoughts from you? I mean, like, let's be honest about men. If there's a condom 6 feet away, men will be like, I don't know if I can go.
It's all the way over there.
It's all the way, you know, it's right, you know, we're here, that's there.
excuse me. Sorry. I think that gender-based issues
– yeah.
are something that we need men to, like, come and sit at the table for. So whether that's trans rights and talking about birth control in the trans community, or it's talking about whatever we're doing, options are important, and we need everyone on board to get the best options for everyone.
Okay, well, I'm so grateful that you've all been here sharing your stories. And I do hope men didn't tune out. Men were at the table listening.
Thank you,
hearing
men.
These stories. Dr. Rebecca Alejandro from Rochester Regional Health, thank you for the expertise, and thank you for the great work you're doing on this issue and helping people with IUDs. Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you so much.
And to Audrey Sample, Chantal Monique, Jesse Amesmith, good luck to all of you. Thank you for sharing your stories this hour.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
More Connections coming up in a moment.